The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You just ID yourself and okay. You're listening to the Mavs Moneyball podcast.
You listen to the Mavs Moneyball podcast.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Devin Harris, and you listen to the Mavs Moneyball podcast.
Perfect.
Century, doing something mean to it, do it better than anybody you ever seen do it. Scream from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess
welcome back to the Mavs Moneyball podcast. This is Tim Cato, editor-in-chief at MavsMoneyball.com, and we are back for a free agency edition of the Mavs Moneyball podcast. It's actually probably been a few weeks or months or something, but we're back now. It's taken a little while. We took a little hiatus, but free agency actually starts on Friday, which seems very close, too close. Does it feel too close, Austin Garuda, who is also on this pod?
It's way too close. Yeah, I'm also here. What's up, guys? Hey,
yeah.
Yeah, free agency is far too close. It's like looking at a train coming on the train tracks, and like when you're like late at night, you're drunk, and you're kind of wandering on the train tracks, and you're kind of like playing whether you're not going to stay on the train tracks or not, and you see the train coming, and it's coming a little faster than you want it to.
I'm suddenly very nervous for you as like a college student. What is this like a real life experience, or are we
it's
just...
It's not really. It's something... It's
inspired by true events?
It's a bit off of The Wire, but like it's also a very real thing, and that's how the Mavericks are as they head into this free agency with their alleged stars.
It's a tricky situation, and the little back and forth between the Mavericks and Chandler Parsons is not helping ease minds and souls and make everybody super optimistic about what's about to go down. I feel like
handsome basketball has come to an end in Dallas. It will just be Dirk left as the last handsome man, and Chandler Parsons will be on to bigger and better places like New York or Los Angeles or Brooklyn. Anywhere that will offer him a max contract.
Which is going to be a lot of plays. For those who might not have heard, Chandler Parsons wants a max contract, and he wants that because that's his value in the NBA. That's kind of his, that's what people are going to offer him, and thus that has kind of set his market value. He definitely deserves a max contract. You know, he's in line for it. He's prepared to get it. The Mavericks, for whatever reason, they definitely have reasons, you know, namely it's his injury concerns. But the Mavericks don't believe he's worth it, or don't believe that they can stomach giving him that contract. So the plan essentially seems to be to offer him $17 or $18 million, and they're not even going to do that until their first free agency plan, which we'll get to in a minute. But they're not even going to do that till later into the offseason. So essentially. They're telling Chandler Parsons to go elsewhere because he's going to take a max contract. He was willing to do it with Dallas. In fact, he would have done it for Dallas, maybe not without hesitation, but he would have pretty promptly done it for Dallas. He would have been willing. He was definitely willing to come back here for a max contract, and Dallas essentially is... I don't want to say running him out of the town, but it's clear that they know what it would take to bring him back, and they're choosing not to do that.
Basically, like when someone asks you to hang out, you're like, yeah, I'll call you. That's basically how the Mavericks and Parsons are right now. Like, I'll call you. If everything falls apart for both sides, they'll be back together. But I feel like this is something that's been 6 months in the making since January. Since those games where he had to sit out the fourth quarter and he sat out crunch time multiple times, and they saw that their team played better without him, and they saw that maybe he was expendable. And then he had those weird comments in the press about Carlisle and how he wants to play in crunch time and how he's a max player, so he should be playing in crunch time. I mean, I think it's been a slow and steady spiral in the Parsons era for the Mavericks, but I really thought he would be back here up until about like a week ago. until all this noise started coming out. And now I think it's less than 30% that he's a Maverick. I mean, probably less than that.
If they don't offer a max contract, I don't see how he would come here. And it doesn't seem like they're going to do that. So things can change. You know, if he's still around when their initial plans fall through and you know, their mind has been changed for some reason, you know, maybe that's a situation where he comes back. But if they don't offer him a max contract, I don't think he's going to be a Maverick. I think it's that simple. They want him to take less money. And I wrote a piece on Wednesday that was titled Chandler Parsons Doesn't Owe the Mavericks Shit, which I apologize for the language.
Please don't apologize.
I really
doesn't owe shit.
But it really felt necessary. It was the only way. I guess the piece was technically titled Chandler Parsons Doesn't Owe the Mavericks Shit, but we're gonna leave censorship out of this one. You guys can stomach a curse word or two. I'm sure you can. But in the piece, I talked about how, you know, it's not Parsons' job to take a lesser deal when he has better money on the table and when he, by all accounts, deserves the money. But just by the way free agency works, just by the way that, you know, people don't pay you for what you've done, they pay you for what you can do. And the reason they do that is because there's only, you know, 5 to 10, or if you're very lucky, 15 years that you're in the league. There isn't time for, you know, kind of, as I described it, a linear rise. Like, you can't start at the age of 20 and you can't get that internship and then work your way up and then you'll be in management by 45. There's not enough time to do that in the NBA, so you can't pay people based off that. You have to pay them based off what you think they can do. And a lot of teams think that Chandler Parsons can be a 20-point scorer with point-forward skills, and there's not a lot of people. In fact, there's probably 5 players in the NBA who have a skill set like that. But, you know, like, there's just not a lot of 6'10 players. Like, who is it? Gordon Hayward? LeBron?
Paul George?
Nicholas Batum, a little bit.
Kawhi.
And, we might be out.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, for sure.
Kevin Durant, pretty good right. player.
He's decent. He's decent. But really, like, Parsons, outside of, like, super, superstars, there's maybe 3 players kind of with Parsons' skill set. Gordon Hayward, him, Batum.
That's probably the tier right there.
Right, right. So it's a skill set he has, and it's kind of a specific skill set. And, you know, whether the Mavericks value that, that's a different question. And it kind of looked like Rick Carlisle might not have valued that, because it never really seemed like they gave him full leverage of the offense, or like full reins for the offense, which I always thought was strange. And you argued for it, I think, last season. Is that right?
Yeah, basically that he's a great pick and roll player. He's a top 5 pick and roll player the first year he was here. He is
by efficiency, that is.
By efficiency, and he's everything you want in a modern wing player in the NBA. He can shoot it. He can pass it. He can get into the lane, play pick and roll, play with bigs. He can play in pretty much any lineup, play with anybody next to him. He's doesn't have any holes in his game. I wish he was a better defender, but he's not like an albatross on defense.
Yeah, he gets the job done.
He can slide between the 3 and the 4. He can guard 2s, 3s, 4s. He can guard some point guards. So, I mean, he's pretty much what you want in your 3/4. He's a max player because he can do that. And if he's going to shoot the percentage he shot this year, which was like 40%+ from 3, and he's going to score and get in the lane, like, that's a max player. And I don't understand why the Mavericks aren't offering that max contract. And I have an idea. I feel like they know something about his knees that is holding them back, because that's the only reason I can really think of not him not being a max player is that they think that his knees are going to be, or his right knee is going to be a problem going forward. But I mean, he had 1 microfracture surgery. He came back. He looked pretty much 95% of what he was before. More skilled, but 95% of his athleticism before. And then he got that meniscus injury that was completely unrelated. But maybe they know something, because they were really precautious about his knee injury, and now they won't offer him a max deal.
It was the same knee, but it wasn't like directly related to the injury, or at least that's what we heard. I'm honestly not. I've never been super concerned, and I get that I'm coming from a place where I don't have access to medical records, and I'm not a doctor, so of course I can't say that for sure. But in general, I've never thought that Chandler's knee, from what we heard, and just the fact that he's never really... It was the first time he had surgery in 2015 when he underwent the initial microfracture hybrid, you know, whatever it was. But that first surgery he went under was the first major surgery that Parsons had had. So I think that we're kind of swayed by the long time he took to come back from the initial injury. We saw him looking hampered and not right all that time. And I wonder how much of an effect that had on us, even subliminally, just thinking, you know, this guy isn't right, and putting that injury on him, even though, you know, it was part of his rehab process, and it's not exactly fair to judge him. But it is true that, you know, Parsons was never, he never really hit his peak here, it felt like. You know, he did for a month and then maybe a couple weeks at a time, but there's never a super consistent 2 month stretch, or I guess there was he had probably a good month and a half right before, you know, probably mid-January this year until the end of February. He was very, very good during that stretch, and it's true that the Mavericks didn't really win, and I don't think that's his fault. I think if we go back and look, we can find other reasons for that. But, you know, maybe there is something to that. Maybe the Mavericks have decided that, you know, for whatever reason, the style of basketball he plays, you know, isn't conducive to the way the Mavericks win. And I think it's ridiculous to say that Parsons' style of play isn't conducive to winning in general, because, like, it's efficient basketball where he scores a good amount of points and does a lot of other things. And like Austin, you talked about, you know, he doesn't really have any holes in his game. But, you know, if for whatever reason, if it's not right for the Mavericks, then maybe there's something that they decided at some point this free agency. You know, maybe Rick Carlisle just never bought into him being a star, and they just decided to let him loose and not give him that max contract. So we may never really know the full answer for it, but there's no doubt to me that this isn't, you know, like the Mavericks know what they're doing. They know that not offering a max contract means that he's leaving. So unless they change course on that, they understand that he's, you know, not going to be part of their future. And so for whatever reason they decided that, I'm not sure I buy into it. But without us knowing for sure, then I guess, can we ever know? if we see him go play really well in Orlando or somewhere else, then, you know, there's maybe some degree there.
This is a peak Cuban move. Like, this is... Cuban can never leave well enough alone. And he's done this throughout the entirety of his tenure as an owner. Like, he did it with Nash, he did it with Tyson, now he's going to do it with Parsons. Just, he's always going to look for whatever he can get that's a little bit better than what he has. When what he has is a very, very good basketball player in front of him, where you can keep him and you can build other pieces around him and have a very good team. And when you're chasing ghosts, ghosts are probably going to go to LA or Miami or stay in Memphis. And so it's really kind of core to the Mavericks ethos to really let a very, very good player they have that's a borderline all-star walk in free agency for nothing. That's another player they left. They let walk without an asset if he walks. They let Monte go without an asset. They let Rondo go without an asset. Every single player that's walked out of here has walked out of here without them getting anything in return. And that's why they literally have nobody on their roster right now. They have Devin Harris, J.J. Barea, Wesley Matthews, and Dirk. And so it's crazy to let someone go without getting anything in return. Even if you sign Parsons back for the max and you say, oh, okay, he's maybe not a max player, he doesn't fit here, there are teams that will trade for him. Like, there are teams that will trade for him in a second. Like, Philly, Brooklyn, like, a lot of these teams that have cap space will do it just so they can have a player that's going to do something to them on the wing. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy that they aren't going to offer him a max deal. It's pretty unforgivable as far as a basketball move.
Yeah, I never want to... I'm always nervous about saying things, like, concretely or absolutely, because, like, I agree. I never know for sure. Maybe they do know something about the knee. Maybe they know this or that. But to me, I can't fathom this move, and I can't fathom just letting Parsons go like that. Because the one thing is that he's a sure thing. You know you could bring him back. And the problem, as we... transition into talking about, you know, their free agent plan, is that we don't know for sure who they're going to be able to get. So their plan this summer is to pursue Hassan Whiteside and Mike Conley, two very good players. You know, I have concerns about Whiteside, but when he's at his best, he's a very good player. I have concerns about Conley too, about his injury status, but he's also a very good player. You know, when healthy, when he's not missing the rest of the season, like he did at the end of this season. But I guess what do you think of either of those players? What do you think of this plan in general? Like it feels like another kind of Hail Mary. Maybe not quite that drastic, but to get both of those players, I think would require a stroke of luck that they certainly haven't got anywhere close to yet.
This plan makes you feel like they haven't learned anything in the last 5 years. Like they keep thinking they're going to like strike gold. And this plan isn't even gold. Even if they struck gold with this plan, it's not going to like... It doesn't even guarantee them getting out of the first round. They'll have a very good basketball team, and they'll probably win 50 games. But it doesn't even guarantee them getting out of the first round. It doesn't make them better than Oklahoma City, the Clippers, the Spurs, or Golden State. And that means they're not getting out of the first round. I also think it's very unlikely that they get both of them. I think it's unlikely that they get even one of them. Because Mike Conley, he can get an extra, $30 million by staying in Memphis...
It's a very good amount of money.
If they offer him a fifth year in Memphis in the max, he's turned on $30+ million to come to Dallas.
Yeah, I think we differ on Whiteside though. I've been swayed to think that they actually have a decent shot at him. Whereas I think you're pretty convinced for a while that he's going to LA or somewhere like that.
I don't think he's coming. I think logically it makes great sense for him to come here as a basketball fit. He can come here be in a good basketball culture and play next to Dirk. He'll be 20-10 maybe, and he'll be an all-star, and he'll be great here. He'll get his numbers, and that's what he really likes. He likes getting his numbers. But I don't think Hassan Whiteside thinks that way. I think Hassan Whiteside wants to grow his brand, and the best way to do that is to be in LA. The best place to be a 26-year-old millionaire is in Los Angeles or Miami, and it's not Dallas. And I really don't think Hassan Whiteside he's gonna go to that meeting with Cuban. He's going to get a nice steak at Trulux Steakhouse, and then he's going to go on his way to Los Angeles, or he's going to go back to Pat Raleigh.
Are you positive the best place for a 26-year-old millionaire, that's the one, millionaire to stay isn't Prosper?
I think Prosper, probably like Plano area.
Like maybe, what is it, White Settlement? The colony? Trash down? I apologize, there's only one of those people, Red Settlement. But.
You just trashed the great city of White Settlement?
I mean, consider the name, like how has that stood so long? Okay, let's not divert too far, but yes.
But yes, like, it's just common knowledge, like players want to play in great cities, especially guys like Hassan, who hangs out with DJ Khaled all the time. Like, it's not like he has Mike Conley's like disposition. Like Mike Conley's gonna look for the good basketball decision. He's gonna make a good basketball move, and I think there's a good chance. I think they have like a 40% chance, 35-40% chance of Mike Conley, because he knows he can come here and play with Dirk, run off the screens with Dirk, and he'll get his numbers, and he'll play great with Carlisle's offense. It'll be a good fit for him, and he'll have fun here in Dallas, and it'll be a good basketball fit, good off the court fit. But Hassan Whiteside, I just can't envision him in a Maverick uniform, and I don't trust Cuban to outwit Pat Riley, because it's literally never happened before.
I like Hassan because I see him as the type of guy who could be swayed by a Mark Cuban pitch. Because Mark, I mean, we all know Cuban's a salesman. Like you've maybe seen him on Shark.
Is he a salesman?
Have you seen him on Shark Tank?
Shark Tank. Is he a salesman to young basketball players? Because I haven't seen him sell any players, any like top players, except for Chandler Parsons.
No. They sold DeAndre Jordan. They convinced him into something he ultimately didn't want to do. So Jordan realized after the pitch, after they had wooed him into this thing, that he was like, actually, I don't want to do them. So clearly, he's a good enough salesman to convince Jordan for 3 days of something he actually didn't want to do. So I don't know. I think there's something there.
If you're going to pride yourself on being a salesman and you're going to close, you have to close them. Like, you can't almost close them. There's no almost in basketball.
I don't know. I weirdly think that Whiteside is the more likely opportunity than Conley. But I think definitely both are, you know, at best 40% chances. I'll give Whiteside 40%. You'll give Conley 40%. Either way, we're not giving much odds for the other one, and certainly the odds of them coming together is very low. The weird thing is that I don't think that they're, you know, I don't think that. So Whiteside, he has said he wants to wrap up his free agency on the first day of free agency, which is July 1st on Friday.
Which means he's meeting right now, and he's going to know on July 1st where he's going.
Well, I think he has meetings lined up on Friday because they're still.
I mean, he has official meetings lined up on Friday, but like.
those agents and those guys are meeting right now, and he's gonna know
when
he's
getting himself into. I'm sure that there's some degree of briefing before these meetings that's happening.
Like, he's not gonna see a Cuban video and be like, you know what, I'm not gonna go to LA, I'm going to Dallas now.
Well, so my thing is that I think they will be most, you know, I think the free agent meetings will mostly happen on Friday. I think that people, there's tampering, and you know, it definitely happens, but I don't know if they're that blatantly ignoring those rules to hold meetings, or you know, but certainly he has an idea of what he's going to do. Anyway, the point is, I think he might take the weekend. He says he wants to do it on July 1st. I think he might take the weekend to kind of wrap this up. But anyway, if Whiteside decides, let's say Whiteside does decide to come to the Mavericks, and he decides early, you know, he decides on July 2nd. We'll say that. I don't know if Whiteside is the type of player to sway Mike Conley, because Whiteside, as Whiteside said himself, he's a businessman who plays basketball. Like, he has a very, you know, build his own brand view of basketball that you know, I'm concerned about what happens when you hand him $100 million or $80 million. I'm very, very concerned about that. And I wonder if Conley, who actually briefly played for him in Memphis, I wonder if Conley is the type of guy who's like, oh, Whiteside, yeah, I want him. Or, you know, if he's more, you know, just not sure if that's the type of guy. Like, I think Conley's definitely more of a Dirk-style player, where, you know, all he cares about is winning and basketball and, like, fundamentals. And Whiteside is not that guy at all. So I wonder how much that signing would actually sway Conley into deciding the Mavericks is where he wants to go. So like, previously it seemed like that might be helpful, but I just don't know for sure.
I think Conley knows from a basketball sense that him playing with Whiteside in pick and roll will be really good for his career. Him playing with Dirk in pick and roll will be good for his career. That's probably the best big matchup. Like, those are probably the best two bigs for him to play with in free agency. I would even argue that's actually better for him to play with Dirk and Whiteside than with Aldridge and Duncan, as far as like big man pick and roll combinations go on a pure basketball level. But again, Hassan Whiteside was in Memphis like, what, 2 or 3 years ago. Like, Conley knows who Whiteside is. Like, it's not like he's never met the guy before. Like, he knows exactly who he is. So, I mean,
and I don't think Whiteside 2 or 3 years ago was exactly making good reputations for himself.
Exactly. So
he was quickly out of the league after Memphis.
And guys in the league talk. Like, guys in the league know each other. So I mean, he's gonna know right away whether or not he wants to go here. But also, at the end of the day, he's gonna be like, hey, do I want to leave Hassan? Do I want to go join up with Hassan Whiteside and leave $30 million? On the table.
See, I think he might. See, I think he's the type of player who's definitely about winning. He wants a max deal, but I think, you know, from what I've heard about him, he's not flashy at all, and he's, you know, he has a wife and kids, and he's not a club guy. You know, that's still a lot of money.
I'm not denying that. Leaving $30 million on the table for anything. Like, not even just in basketball, just like in any industry across the board where you're going to have a guaranteed 30 plus million and you're leaving it for something that's not even like a sure thing. Like, I just haven't seen that before, and I don't trust it. Like, if he's the first guy to do it, that's great. I think he's a guy who could be swayed to do it, but I'm just going to go with history and human nature and say that he's probably not going to leave that money on the table. And he also, he's been in Memphis his whole career. He loves it there. That team loves him. That city loves him. I think that's really going to, like, sway on him. He told Marc Gasol, like, he was going to stay and be with Marc Gasol. And I think that's going to end up, at the end of the day, like, prevailing. But he will listen. And he will think about it very hard. And there's a chance.
So what would happen if somehow this plan works, which we've admitted it's probably on the less likely side, but what if the Mavericks actually sign Conley and Whiteside? Like, how much better is that team? Like, I think they're better, but because I think they have to be better. I think they're a playoff team, probably.
They're a playoff team.
So you're probably starting Conley.
It's Conley, Matthews, Anderson, Dirk, Whiteside, and then your bench is just an adventure. Whoever wants to take the room inception, who you're going to find on a minimum contract. So you're going to have Salah off the bench.
Devin and Brea will be back. Yeah, right,
and
right.
You got to find some wings. You got to find guys who want to play on short contracts, and that's where you got to scout. And
yeah, your wing depth would be the Mavericks, biggest, and you wouldn't really have a bench scorer.
That's the one thing they're very good at is finding those.
They
those
are.
Guys
they're very good at
deep and make plugging them in and giving them good roles. So that would be the key there. But then again, you have free agency next year, and you can the cap goes up, so they'll be able to fill in next year. But as far as this year, I think that's like a 47-win team. It's a very, very, very good defensive team, and that's gonna give it will give a lot of teams a lot of problems. And then I think what's really giving them a lot of pause is that 7-game winning streak they went on the end of the year, when they had Barea starting at point, and they were starting Anderson and Matthews and Salah, and they were just getting great elite. They were getting top 5 defense out of those 3 guys.
Well, I think Conley is more of a slow point guard. He certainly was in Memphis, and I think Whiteside and Conley. If you get those two, you're definitely looking for a slower tempo. I think that's kind of the way you would play.
Yeah, and then you're gonna have Conley and Dirk in the pick and roll. That's a good enough offense on its own. Those are two borderline all stars. And then Hassan's gonna be rolling to the room at will. So it's gonna be that starting five is gonna be very, very good. It's just where they're gonna lose games. It's just their bench comes in the late third quarter and they lit up a 10-0 run because Devin and JJ can't guard the other two guys on the other team. Like that's where that team would lose games. But as far as their starting five and playing the playoffs, that would be a very, very tough matchup for anyone in the playoffs, and they would give a lot of teams a lot of fuzz, because I think Justin Anderson's going to be a pretty good player next year.
Yeah, I still think they would be a six seed, maybe even a 7 seed, but they would have more wins because the bottom of the Western Conference was obviously very weak at the end of last season. I don't know how many people expected was it 42 wins that they ended up for 42 wins. I don't know how many people expected that to end up being a playoff team.
Carl, he's a wizard.
I mean, he made it happen, and there's no shame in making the playoffs. No matter how many wins it is, but certainly
that's the thing about this plan. It's like even if you get the plan, it doesn't guarantee you anything this year. It maybe makes you, it sets you up for the future, and it gives you like a nice 4-year window where you can add pieces and maybe become a borderline title contender. But it doesn't guarantee you a thing. And I think bringing back Parsons, you at least have a nice core of Matthews, Parsons, and Anderson for when Dirk retires. And you at least have that. And that's a solid core to add pieces to.
Yeah, when we talk about Whiteside and Conley, we're assuming that Whiteside, once he gets his money, he takes it seriously, which I think is an assumption. It's certainly not guaranteed. I mean, I guess I'd probably feel better about him being coached by Carlisle and in Dallas, not LA. I would really hope that worked out. Like I said, I don't think it's a guarantee. Conley also had a lot of injury. He's had a lot of injury problems. He had an Achilles was bothering him and caused him to miss the season. It wasn't an Achilles tear. It wasn't, you know, nearly as severe as Wes Matthews or anything like that. But he's also an injury prone point guard. He has been over his past few years. So, you know, you're also assuming that he's going to be healthy for most of the year. Which, you know, those are decent assumptions.
And the thing is here is, like, I'm not sure how much better Mike Conley is than Chandler Parsons. I think he's an overall better basketball player. But as far as the modern NBA, I can get a lot of point guards. Like, he doesn't move the needle for me. He's not winning point guard matchups in the Western Conference for me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as like mediocre, D-Will was a good NBA point guard. He's just a solid NBA point guard, knows how to run the point, knows how to run teams, and I'm finally bringing him back. And I think Parsons is more of a fit for the modern NBA than Conley, because he has size that can do more things and he's more versatile, and if he's going to be healthy, then he's going to be a fine NBA player. So I think I would rather have Parsons and Whiteside than have Conley and Whiteside. I think that'll be a better fit.
The
Mavericks.
The biggest thing about this plan that bums me out is that I really think that Chandler Parsons has never been given the weapons he needed to, you know, kind of push from good to great. And I think he's, I personally think he's able to do that. And maybe he's never can do it in Dallas because Carlisle doesn't trust him, or, you know, this or that. But with a pick and roll threat like DeAndre Jordan, like they pursued last offseason and nearly had, with a pick and roll threat, and then you just put some shooters around him, like that is a scary offense. I honestly think that him and, like, we saw Chandler Parsons, especially his last year in Houston. He was averaging 4 assists as a 6'10 forward. Like, he can make passes, he can run the pick and roll, he can lob stuff up. He was lobbing stuff up to Dwight when he was when he was in Houston, and that was, you know, that was a very good source of offense for Houston. And I feel like the Mavericks never really gave him a chance to do that. The first year it was because he didn't have the ball in his hands very much. He was almost always an off-ball player. The second year he was injured, and then, you know, he didn't have, like, his pick-and-roll threat was Pachulia, or it was JaVale McGee for a brief second. And actually with McGee, he had a few good games where he threw him lobs and had good moments, and unfortunately it hasn't materialized for a whole season. I'm bummed out that we never got a chance to see exactly what that could do, because I was excited and I always thought that there was something there. And if he does end up not being a Maverick, then clearly, you know, that's not the chance. So
let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Conley and Whiteside or Parsons and Dwight?
Ooh. You know, I honestly... I honestly might say Parsons and Dwight.
I'm in that boat too. Whiteside just scares the shit out of me. Whiteside, I feel like Whiteside has so much binding potential. Like,
yeah,
for all of Dwight's like idiosyncrasies, like I know at least at like minimum he's going to be in the league and he's going to be at least an above average NBA center.
Yeah, I'm basing my decision based off of getting Dirk a competitive team and a playoff team. I think Whiteside and Hassan would probably set you up for the future better. You know, I think there's a better chance they set you up for the future longer term. But like, I guess I'm weird. I just don't see sports. Like, sports are more than just winning. You know, winning a title, have to always be convinced to win a title. Like we got that in 2011 and it was amazing, and I would love to have it again. But like, you owe something to Dirk. Like you owe him a couple playoff teams, and you owe him, you know, a reason to stick around here, not to run off to the Warriors. I mean, he doesn't want to leave. Like, he will if he needs to, I think, and we can get to this in just a second. I think this is our next talking point. But like, you owe Dirk more than just allowing, like you should be able to put a team around him that's able to win. Even if they're not going to be home court advantage in the first round, even if they're going to lose in the first round, you know, like he's done enough for this franchise that can you not give him a couple of years, even if it means sacrificing a little bit of your future? Like, is that really wrong to say? Because, you know...
And he's still the best player on the team.
He is.
You know, and regardless, I think he's still going to be the best player on the team next year, too. Like, he's really damn good, and he's really the only reason this franchise has had any success.
Like, I know Dwight. I know Dwight Howard's going to be broken down in 2 years, and like, I don't care because he's going to be broken down right when they need to tank anyway. If they blow the team up right this second, if they say Dirk go somewhere else, like, is that any more guaranteed to give them a better chance to get to the playoffs, to get to contending status? Because I don't think it is. Like, I know this draft coming up is very good, but like, there's no guarantee they can be that bad. There's just no guarantee. Like, tanking, it has worked for a few teams, like intentionally losing, but like full-blown tanking like the Sixers, and I respect them, and I think their plan is going to make them into a good basketball team, but like, it hasn't proven to win a championship. Like the teams that win championships get lucky. Like, it's honestly as simple as that. Like the Spurs, they happen to be bad the 1 year that Tim Duncan's in the draft. You know, the Lakers, you know, they come together. They got Kobe back in the day. They brought some players around him. There's just so much luck that goes into, like, even the Warriors. Like, did they know Steph and Klay and all these? They were high picks. They were not number one and number two and number three picks. So much of this is luck, and so much of this is just, you know, having a smart plan, but also falling into the right places. And that's still something people can't plan for, or otherwise every team would win a championship every year.
Yeah, I think
this was my championship rant. So I've also written about this if you want to read it. I think the piece is titled "The Mavericks Owe Dirk Nowitzki Even If He Makes Their Plans Worse," or something to that effect.
Smooth plug.
Yeah, shoot me a tweet and I'll shoot you the link if you're interested. I enjoyed writing that one.
But they do owe him. They owe him everything. And I think Parsons would actually be the better short-term fix for them. And Dwight would be great with Dirk. I think Dwight would be great here. Carl would use him properly. I think he'd be rejuvenated here. I think he'd be just a great fit overall, playing in spread pick-and-roll with Parsons, with D-Will, playing next to Dirk. I think he'd really like being in Dallas. I think he'd like the city of Dallas. I think it would be a perfect fit here. But I don't think they're looking for that. I think they're looking towards the future, and I think, and looking towards the future, they're going to ruin the last 3 years of Dirk's career, because I think they're going to miss out on everybody. I think they're going to take a huge swing this offseason, and like the last 4 years, they're going to take a big miss, and we're going to be scrambling once Parsons, Conley, and Whiteside go off the board. Now, I do think there's a small 10% chance that they're just posturing on the max deal for Parsons, and that's just something they're trying to feed and put on the public just to create some leverage and see what's happening. And then eventually they'll cave. Like, if they find out July 1st that Conley and Whiteside aren't coming here, or if they find out Whiteside's not coming here,
right,
they can
right.
just go and offer Parsons a max deal. Like, what cool are they offering a max money to? Like, Nick's platoon, Max is higher than Parsons, and he's not leaving Charlotte to come here. And, like, there's the goals they're going to offer a max to, like...
Kent Bazemore, Harrison Barnes, like players that are worse, like, objectively worse than Chandler Parsons.
So, I mean, I think they're going to end up caving and having to give Parsons the max. And I think Parsons wants to be here for the max. I think he likes being in Dallas. I think he likes the kind of control and kind of power he has within the organization and, like, the stature he has and eventually becoming, like, a front office member. So I think if they'll end up caving and possibly giving him a max deal, but if they really do hold this stance... I really do think they're about to really make a huge mistake and really miss on everybody.
Yeah, very briefly, I think that that's definitely a possibility. I'm concerned that Parsons will be, like, annoyed enough at Dallas that he might just go somewhere else instead.
Yeah.
Because they haven't, like, you know, I don't know how this got leaked or whether it was intentional or not, because oftentimes it is. But certainly, you know, having this all in the news, how they essentially don't value him as a max player. And in Parsons' eyes, that means they don't value him as a player. You know, and certainly he's had some other spats with the coaches and other people. Like, you know, maybe at this point he's just like, okay, I've had enough of you guys. I wanted to come back, but after this, like, this was one straw too many. And there's a team, there's so many teams that have poured out their love for me and tried to convince me to come here. So let's talk about Dirk. Like, would he actually leave... If they miss Conley, if they miss Whiteside, if Parsons leaves, we've seen this team put together last ditch, last second plan teams that, you know, are not actually terrible. Would he just trust the Mavericks to do that again? Because I think they could put together a 41 team. You know, I feel like they can pull that out of their ass consistently, whether it's Kent Bazemore on the wing or an Anderson and whoever. But would he trust them, or do you think he'd actually consider leaving?
I think at that point he's going to take meetings, and I don't think Dirk Nowitzki's ever thought about taking meetings before. I think he's going to have Joe Lacob fly him out, or he'll come fly over here to Dallas. They'll go out for dinner. They'll talk to them. I think Cleveland will perk up. Toronto, basically any borderline contender that really thinks that they have a chance to really contend for a title. OKC, they might as well. Houston, the Clippers, like, all these teams should make a run at him and should really pitch him. And the thing about Dirk is that he's such a unique superstar. There's really never been anyone like him as far as a superstar. And I think most teams really don't know how to pitch him. But I think for the first time, there'll be an opportunity and there'll be an opening. And I think Dirk will think really hard about it. At the end of the day, I don't think he can leave here. I think he really, truly loves the city of Dallas. He's just a god here, and sports-wise, like, he's the most important figure here. He's bigger than any Cowboy, he's bigger than any Ranger, bigger than any Maverick. Like, he is Dallas sports. So I think he really does love it here, and he'll stick it out. But if they blow it on everybody, next year's his last year. He's not going to come back for another year after that. He doesn't want to be here losing games. Like, he's here to play in playoff games. He's here to play in games like Game 2 of the first round against OKC. That's what he's here to do. He's not here to dilly-daddle in December and January on road games in Washington. Like, he wants to play in big games. If he's not going to play in high-stakes, high-leverage games, this isn't the place for him. Like, and I think he's an ultra-competitor. He's one of the greatest competitors in the history of this sport. He's not going to sit around and lose games because he's never done it before in his career, ever.
Yeah, I think I pretty much am in complete agreeance with you. The thing with Dirk is, you're right, like, he hates losing so much. The reason that he won't play for a team that's tanking, the reason he won't play for the Mavericks if they decide to blow it up, is less about the season not going anywhere and more about the fact that he can't lose 50 games. Like, he could not, it would not be good for his psyche.
No,
like, he would, like, not be able to stomach that. He would be sick to his stomach every time they lost, because he is sick to his stomach every time they lose. Like, He's frustrated beyond all means when this team just can't put it together, even though he feels like they have the talent to be better than they are. So I pretty much agree. Like, I think he will strongly consider it. I think for the first time, if they don't get the free agency, he's going to actually consider it, like, realistically. Whether it's meetings or whether it's just taking a few phone calls here and there, I don't know how he's going to go about it. Certainly, whatever the case, it's going to be very low-key. He won't be signing any offer sheets in nightclubs, of course. But, you know, I think he will definitely consider it. If they strike out, if they once again don't quite get the free agents they think they're going to get, like their plan is, then I think that, like Austin said, this is the first year that he's going to give it some thought, like some very, very serious thought. And, you know, if it's the Warriors, like if it's 1 year with the Warriors, that's a vacation. That's a 6 month vacation for him and his wife and his two children who aren't quite, you know, in school yet. They're not, like, you know, they can be uprooted a little bit. I'm positive he's going to come back and live in Dallas when he's done. And he's not going to sell his house or anything, but, you know, I think he definitely would consider going to the Warriors, who want him and have expressed interest in him. And at the end of the day, like Austin said, I'm not sure he could do it. I'm not sure he could pull that trigger. I'm not sure he could leave Dallas. And he's definitely going to play at least one more year. But if they're bad this year and he has a good year, then I think for sure he'd consider the Warriors. And if they're bad this year and, you know, he's only okay, then this is probably it. He's probably retiring. Even though he said he wanted to play 20 seasons, which would be one more after this, you know, if they're bad and, you know, he's just not quite feeling there, I think he's hanging them up. And I think that's going to be really sad, because if they were good and if he was just average, I think he would definitely go another season with Dallas. You know, if they do get Conley and Whiteside, or if they do keep Parsons and get Whiteside, or if they have Parsons and Dwight, or whatever the situation is, as long as they can keep winning 45 games, he will keep playing, as long as he's not just hurting the team every time he's out there. And he very clearly is not, as you know, throughout the season and throughout his entire career, he has not hit that point yet where he's hurting the team by any stretch, and he's not really close to that yet. And so, you know, I think the Mavericks really owe it to him to give him two more years in Dallas, like he wants to play, like he's implied that he really would like to do. And, you know, that might mean, and I'm just afraid that the plan they have isn't going to allow that to happen. And that's why my feelings going to free agency are just so, what's the right word? I don't have a good word for it.
Ambivalent?
Maybe. It's sort of frustration. It's sort of just like not being excited at all. Just like sort of, it's like emotionally draining to see this team like, try this again.
It's ominous, which is weird. Like, this offseason is probably going to be worse than last offseason.
Did you say ominous?
Ominous.
Ominous?
Ominous.
Ominous. That's thank
Jesus. I'm the person who gets paid to write. That's great.
No, you don't get paid to speak.
I don't get paid to speak.
We don't pay for that. I bought him beer. He is drinking a beer. I bought him, so.
But I
it's
do
a deep Hellum IPA. It's very
I
good.
I do think the dark horse team Shout out. Dirk would be Toronto. I think Toronto is the one team that can pitch
it's
in.
It's really cold up there, though.
And Masai, I think what it is Masai could really pitch Dirk.
On Dwayne Casey,
Toronto.
Too. He loves Dwayne Casey.
Dwayne,
2011
Casey, I think
assistant
Masai
coach.
Could pitch him and his wife on coming to Toronto. Toronto's a really international city, and Dirk would love Toronto. He would have a perfect. He would fit perfectly with their team.
He would actually.
And he would also. He'd be able to get a lot of touches. He'd be able to play in crunch time. He's going to go maybe to probably the Eastern Conference Finals and play against LeBron and have fun and play high level playoff basketball for a year or two. And if the Mavericks don't go, if they don't sign Whiteside, Conley, or Parsons, I want him to be able to go and do that. Because
yeah, I want Dirk to play for a team that's worth it.
I don't
want to
see him play on this.
I want him to play for a good team in Dallas, of course. I'm selfish like that. But,
yeah.
You know, if it comes to it, I would fully support him.
Fully support that. Like, that's... I would love to see Dirk play on
I would be very, very upset with Cuban and the rest of the Mavericks forever unless this happens.
They have no one to blame but themselves.
And I don't know how much, like... I don't know if that's something I could forgive them for. Like, you know, like, I'm not going to never be a fan again or watch any games again. That's ridiculous. But, you know, like, I would always remember that... pretty much their desperate gambling is for major free agents trying to set up for the future is what caused Dirk to leave, you know, a year early. And, you know, it'd be worth it because I'm a huge fan of Dirk. But
I think he's enlisting, man. I think this is the first year he's really just like, hey, I was the best player on this roster at age 37, and that's not okay. And I've been taking less money, and I've been sacrificing. When are you guys going to sacrifice? Why are they not sacrificing and just paying Chandler Parsons? Like, if Dirk is in there, he's going to be asking these questions.
Let's hope things work out. It'd be really cool.
I would like to continue to watch Dirk and Missy play basketball.
If there's anything to say in the Mavericks' favor, they've had a couple good off seasons in a row. Like, I think they had a good off season last year. They couldn't have planned for DeAndre, and so I don't know how much I fault them for that. I think they had a good plan and good strategy.
They were a 51 team 2 seasons ago, which is kind of crazy.
They were, and 2014 was the best off season they've had, no doubt. Getting Parsons and just like adjusting on the fly. It's something I'm writing on this week for Mavs Moneyball. So keep an eye out for that. Hasn't happened yet, but it'll be up this week. Something just kind of looking at the past two off seasons. I think that's one reason to be optimistic. The other reason to be optimistic is just that they've been, you know, I don't know if they've been unlucky or just bad, but you know, good Lord, like eventually maybe they can just catch a break from the basketball gods. They can just, okay, we feel bad. You guys keep trying this. You're running this into the ground. We're going to throw you a bone here.
The basketball gods do own a bone, like the Rondo trade, like the Monte debacle.
Yeah.
DeAndre debacle, Parsons two knee injuries, they've had poor planning, but they've also just caught like ridiculous bad breaks.
Hopefully,
something breaks their way.
I think you can definitely say the Mavericks have had bad plans in free agency while also saying they've been very unlucky.
Yeah.
I think that's a realistic thing you can argue. We're gonna be back probably next week. Probably whenever things start happening, we'll definitely be back with the podcast. Not going to wait 2 months like we did for this one. So
it'll be a celebration, or it'll be a wait for the 2016-2017 season.
Oh, God, so early. Oh,
we'll pretty much know by July 4th. But
if things go poorly, we might just preview Summer League. It might be a Summer League preview pod. We might even talk about free agency. Just pretend it didn't happen. Talk about the chances for the Mavericks to win the Summer League Championship.
Listen, A.J. Hammonds, the next NBA All-Star, the next Boogie Cousins.
A.J. Hammonds and Justin Anderson, that's a pretty good twosome.
Hey.
Lead them right to the championships, right to the finals.
A.J. Hammonds is basically Boogie. Like, he's basically DeMarcus Cousins.
I see no difference.
I really don't see a difference. Yeah, his jumper looks just as good. He's big, strong. Like, I don't see any difference. He's almost as old as Boogie, so I mean...
All right,
That's a great place to stop.
We're 48 minutes in, which is way longer than we usually go. Well, it's probably gonna be a little bit less than that. Yeah, cool. we're 40 something minutes in. That's way longer than we usually go. So
it's free agency time. We have a lot of things to talk about.
Let's hope the next pod goes for an hour and a half because we can't stop talking about the Mavs moves. All right, this has been Tim Cato. Thanks for joining me and Austin Gurria. We'll definitely be back soon. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.